briefly. What are the rules again? No talking about sex, no PDA, no talking about relationship stuff. No being jealous. No being unnecessarily jealous, is that fair? Reagan pursed her lips. All right, but be rational if this comes up. No being unnecessarily jealous. And no being a horrible, narcissistic bitch who gets off on her ex-boyfriend's affection. Agreed, Reagan said, holding out her hand. Do we really have to shake on this? Yes. Levi and I might not even be anything, you know? We haven't even gone on a date. Reagan smiled tightly. I don't think so. I've got a good/bad feeling about this. Shake. Kath reached out and shook her hand. Now get up, Reagan said. I'm hungry. As soon as Reagan left for work that afternoon, Kath jumped up from her desk and started going through her closet to figure out what to wear. Probably a t-shirt with a cardigan and jeans. There was nothing in Kath's closet that wasn't a t-shirt, a cardigan, or jeans. She laid her options out on the bed. Then she went looking for something she'd bought at a flea market last year. A little green knit collar that fastened with an antique pink button. She wondered where Levi would take her. Her first date with Abel had been to a movie. Ren and some of their other friends had come too. After that, going out with Abel usually just meant hanging out at the bakery or studying up in Kath's room. Swim meets during swim season, math contests. Those probably weren't dates, come to think of it. She wasn't going to tell Levi that her last date had been at a math contest. Kath looked at the clothes she'd laid out and wished that Ren were here to help. She wished that she'd talked to Ren about Levi before they'd started fighting, which would have been last year, before Kath had even met him. What would Ren say if she were here? Pretend that he likes you more than you like him. It's like buying a car. You have to be willing to walk away. No, that was the kind of advice Ren gave herself. What would she say to Kath? Stop frowning. We're prettier when we smile. Are you sure you don't want to do a shot? God, thinking about Ren was just making Kath feel worse. Now she felt nervous and sad and lonely. It was a relief when Reagan kicked in the door and started talking about dinner. Wear your hair down, Reagan said, tearing a piece of pizza in half. You have good hair. That comment is definitely against the ground rules, Kath said, taking a bite of cottage cheese. Number 3, I think. I know, Reagan shook her head, but you're so helpless sometimes. It's like watching a kitten with its head trapped in a Kleenex box. Kath rolled her eyes. I don't want to feel like I have to look different for him all of a sudden. It'll seem lame. It's lame to want to look nice on a date. Levi is shaving right now, I promise you. Kath winced. Stop. No insider Levi information. That's insider guy information. That's how dates work. He already knows what I look like, Kath said. There's no point in being tricky about it now. How is doing your hair and maybe putting on some lip gloss being tricky? It's like I'm trying to distract him with something shiny. Kath circled her spoon hand in front of her face, accidentally flicking cottage cheese on her sweater. He already knows about all this. This is what I look like. She tried to scrape the cottage cheese off without rubbing it in. Reagan leaned across the table and grabbed the clip out of Kath's hair. It slumped over her ears and into her eyes. There. Reagan said. Now that's what you look like. Presto change-o. Oh my God, Kath said, grabbing her clip out of Reagan's hand and immediately twisting her hair back up. Was that a Simon Snow reference? Now Reagan rolled her eyes. Like you're the only one who's read Simon Snow. Like it isn't a global phenomenon. Kath started giggling. Reagan scowled at her. What are you eating, anyway? Are those peaches in your cottage cheese? Isn't it disgusting? Kath said. You kind of get used to it. When they turned down the hallway, they could see Levi sitting against their door. In no circumstances would Kath ever run squealing down the hall into his arms, but she did her version of that. She smiled tensely and looked away. Hey, Levi said, sliding up the door to his feet. Hey, Reagan said. Levi ruffled the top of his hair sheepishly, like he wasn't sure which of them to smile at. You ready? He asked Kath while Reagan opened the door. Kath nodded. Just my coat. She found her coat and slipped it on. Scarf, Levi said, so she grabbed it. See you later, she said to Reagan. Probably not, Reagan said, shaking her hair out in front of her mirror. Kath felt herself blushing. She didn't look over at Levi again until they were standing together in front of the elevator. Condition, smiling, stable. When it opened, he put his hand on her back, and she practically jumped in. What's the plan? She asked. He grinned. My plan is to do things that make you want to hang out with me again tomorrow. What's your plan? I'm going to try not to make an ass of myself. He grinned. So we're all set. She smiled back at him, in his general direction. I thought I'd show you East Campus, Levi said. At night? In February? The elevator doors opened, and he waited for her to step out. I got a great deal on an off-season tour. Besides, it's not that cold out tonight. Levi led the way outside and started walking away from the parking lot. Don't we have to drive? Kath asked. I thought we'd take the shuttle. There's a shuttle? He shook his head. City folk. The shuttle was a bus, and it rolled up almost immediately. After you, Levi said. Inside, the bus was lit up brighter than daylight and nearly empty. Kath chose a seat and sat down sideways with one knee up so that there wasn't room to sit down right next to her. Levi didn't seem to mind. He swung sideways into the seat in front of her and rested his arm on the back. You have very nice manners, she said. My mother would be thrilled to hear that. He smiled. So you have a mother? He laughed. Yes. And a father? And four sisters. Older or younger? Older, younger. You're in the middle? Smack dab. What about you? Are you the older or younger twin? She shrugged. It was a C-section, but Ren was bigger. She was stealing my juice or something. I had to stay in the hospital for 3 weeks after she went home. Kath didn't tell him that sometimes she felt like Ren was still taking more than her fair share of life, like she was siphoning vitality off Kath, or like she was born with a bigger supply. Kath didn't tell him that because it was dark and depressing, and because, for the moment, she wouldn't trade places with Ren, even if it meant getting the better umbilical cord. Does that mean she's more dominant? Levi asked. Not necessarily. I mean, I guess she is, about most things. My dad says we used to share the bossiness when we were kids. Like, I'd decide what we were going to wear, and she'd decide what we were playing. Did you dress alike? When we were little, we liked to. I've helped deliver twins before, he said. Calves. It almost killed the cow. Kath's eyes got big. How did that happen? Sometimes, when a bull meets a cow, they decide to spend more time together. How did you end up being there for the delivery? It happens a lot on a ranch. Not twins, but births. You worked on a ranch? He raised an eyebrow, like he wasn't sure whether she was serious. I live on a ranch. Oh, Kath said. I didn't know people lived on ranches. I thought it was like a factory or a business, someplace where you go to work. You're sure you're from Nebraska? I'm starting to feel like Omaha doesn't count. Well, he smiled, I live on a ranch. Like on a farm? sort of. Farms are for crops. Ranches are for grazing livestock.
Oh, that sounds...
Are there just cows wandering around? Yeah. He laughed, then shook his head. No, there are cattle in designated areas. They need a lot of space.
Is that what you want to do when you're done with school? Work on a ranch?
Something passed over Levi's face. His smile faded a bit, and he scrunched his eyebrows together. It's not that simple. My mom shares the ranch with my uncles, and nobody really knows what's going to happen when they all retire. There are 12 cousins, so we can't just split it, unless we sell it, which nobody really wants.
He shook his head again quickly and smiled back up at her.
I'd like to work on a ranch, or with ranchers, helping them be better at what they do.
Range management.
And you try to pretend like you're not paying attention. Hey, this is our stop.
Already?
East Campus is only 2 miles from your dorm. It's shameful that you've never been here.
Kath followed him off the bus. He stopped to thank the driver by name. Did you know that guy? She asked when the bus pulled away. Levi shrugged.
He was wearing a name tag. Okay.
He stepped directly in front of her and spread a long arm out toward a parking lot. He was smiling, like a game show host.
Cather Avery, as a student of the Agricultural College, a member of the agricultural community, and a citizen of Lincoln, Nebraska, I would like to welcome you to East Campus.
I like it, Kath said, looking around. It's dark. There are trees.
You can park your snark at the gate, Omaha.
Who would have thought that being from Omaha would make me city-fied?
On your right is the East Campus Union. That's where we keep our bowling alley.
Another bowling alley.
Don't get excited. There's no bowling on the agenda tonight.
Kath followed Levi along a winding sidewalk path and smiled politely at all the buildings when he pointed to them. He kept touching her back to get her attention or to make sure she was facing the right direction. She didn't tell him that East Campus, in February, at night, looked a lot like City Campus.
If we were here during the day, he said, we'd stop at the dairy store and have some ice cream.
Too bad, she said. It's the perfect freezing night for it.
Are you cold?
He stopped in front of her and frowned.
Is that how your mother taught you to put on a scarf?
Her scarf was hanging around her collar. He pulled it snugly against her neck and wrapped it, tucking in the ends. Kath hoped her coat hid the embarrassingly shaky breath she'd taken. Levi moved his hands up to the side of her head and gently pinched the top of her ears.
Not too bad, he said, rubbing them. Are you cold?
He raised an eyebrow.
Do you want to go in?
She shook her head. No, I want to see East Campus. He grinned again.
As well you should. We haven't even gotten to the Tractor Museum. It's closed, of course.
Of course.
But still worth seeing.
Of course. After a half hour or so, they stopped to use the bathroom in the dental college. People were spread out on blue couches in the lounge, studying. Levi bought a cup of hot chocolate from the coffee machine for them to share. Kath had a weird thing about sharing drinks, but she decided it would be stupid to say anything. She'd already kissed him. When they stepped outside again, the night seemed quieter, darker.
I saved the best for last, Levi said softly.
What's that?
Patience. This way.
They walked together along another curving sidewalk until he stopped her with a hand on her shoulder.
Here we are, he said, pointing down an unshoveled path. The gardens.
Kath tried to look appreciative. You wouldn't know there was a path here at all if it weren't for one set of footprints in the melting snow. All she could see were the footprints, some dead bushes, and a few weedy patches of mud. It's breathtaking, she laughed.
I knew you'd like it. Play your cards right, and I'll bring you back during the high season.
They walked slowly, occasionally stopping to look at educational plaques that were sticking out through the snow. Levi would lean over, clear one off with his sleeve, and read out loud what plants were supposed to be growing there. "So what we're really missing out on," Kath said as they bent together over a sign, "is a variety of native grasses."
"And wildflowers," Levi said. "We're also missing the wildflowers."
She stepped away from him, and he took her hand.
"Wait," he said. "I think there might be an evergreen over there."
Kath looked up.
"False alarm," he said, squeezing her hand.
She shivered.
"Are you cold?"
She shook her head. He squeezed her hand again.
"Good."
They didn't talk about any more of the flowers they were missing as they finished their loop through the gardens. Kath was glad she wasn't wearing gloves. Levi's palm was smooth, almost slick, against her own. They walked over a pedestrian bridge, and she felt her arm pull. He'd stopped to lean against the trusses.
"Hey, Kath, can I ask you something?"
She stopped and looked back at him. He took her other hand and pulled her closer, not against him or anything, just closer, fingers crossing like they were about to play London Bridge. Levi was a black-and-white photograph in the dark, all pale skin, gray eyes, streaky hair.
"Do you really think I just go around kissing people all the time?"
he asked.
"Sort of," Kath said.
She tried to ignore the fact that she could feel every single one of his fingers. "Up until about a month ago, I thought you were kissing Reagan all the time."
"How could you think that? She's seeing, like, 5 other guys."
"I thought you were one of them."
"But I was always flirting with you."
He pushed Kath's hands forward for emphasis. "You flirt with everything." She could tell that her eyes were popping. Her eyeballs actually felt cold around the edges. "You flirt with old people and babies and everybody in between."
"Oh, I do not."
He tucked his chin into his neck indignantly. "You do so," she said, pushing his hands back. "That night at the bowling alley, you flirted with every human being in the building. I'm surprised the shoe guy didn't give you his number."
"I was just being nice."
"You're extra nice. With everyone. You go out of your way to make everyone feel special."
"Well, what's wrong with that?"
"How is anyone supposed to know that they are special? How was I supposed to know you weren't just being nice?"
"You can't see that I'm different with you?"
"I thought I could. For like 12 hours. And then, for all I know, yeah, you do go around kissing people. Just to be nice, because you have this weird thing where you get off on making people feel special." Levi winced, his chin almost flat against his neck.
"I've been hanging around your room and inviting you to parties and just trying to be there whenever you might need anything for 4 months. And you didn't even notice."
"I thought you were dating my roommate," she said. "And I repeat, you're nice to everybody. You give away nice like it doesn't cost you anything." Levi laughed.
"It doesn't cost me anything. It's not like smiling at strangers exhausts my overall supply."
"Well, it does mine."
"I'm not you. Making people happy makes me feel good. If anything, it gives me more energy for the people I care about."
Kath had been trying to maintain eye contact through all this, like a grown-up human being, but it was getting to be too much. She let her eyes skitter down to the snow. "If you smile at everyone," she said, "how am I supposed to feel when you smile at me?" He pulled their hands toward him, up, so they were practically over his shoulders.
"How do you feel when I smile at you?"
he asked. And then he did smile at her. Just a little. "Not like myself," Kath thought. She gripped his hands tightly for balance, then stood on tiptoe, leaning her chin over his shoulder and brushing her head gently against his cheek. It was smooth, and Levi smelled heavy there, like perfume and mint. "Like an idiot," she said softly, "and like I never want it to stop."
They sat next to each other on the shuttle, looking down at their hands because it was too bright on the bus to look at each other's faces. Levi didn't talk, and Kath didn't worry about why not. When they got back to her room, they both knew it was empty, and they both had keys. Levi unwrapped her scarf and pulled her forward by the tails, briefly pressing his face into the top of her head.
"Tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow," he said.
He meant it. He came to see her the next day and the next, and after a week or so, Kath just expected Levi to insinuate himself into her day somehow and to act like it had always been that way. He never said, "Can I see you tomorrow?" or "Will I see you tomorrow?" It was always when and where. They met in the union between classes. She met him at Starbucks on his breaks. He waited in the hallway for her or for Reagan to let him in. They'd kept it from being weird so far between the three of them. Kath would sit at her desk, and Levi would sit on her bed and tell them both stories and tease them. Sometimes the intimacy and affection in his voice were too much for Kath. Sometimes she felt like he was talking to them like her dad talked to her and Ren, like they were both his girls. Kath tried to shake it off. She tried to meet him other places if Reagan was in the room. But when they were alone in the room, without Reagan, they didn't act much differently. Kath still sat at her desk, and Levi still sat on her bed with his feet on her chair, talking circles around her. Lazy, comforting circles. He liked to talk about her dad and Ren. He thought the twin thing was fascinating. He liked to talk about Simon Snow, too. He'd seen all the movies two or three times. Levi saw lots of movies. He liked anything with fantasy or adventure. Superheroes, hobbits, wizards. If only he were a better reader, Kath thought, he could have been a proper nerd. Well, maybe. To really be a nerd, she'd decided, you had to prefer fictional worlds to the real one. Kath would move into the world of mages in a heartbeat. She'd felt almost despondent last year when she realized that even if she discovered a magical wormhole into Simon's world, she was too old now to go to the Watford School of Magics. Ren had been bummed, too, when Kath pointed it out. They were lying in bed on the morning of their 18th birthday. "Kath, wake up. Let's go buy some cigarettes." "Can't," Kath said. "I'm going to watch an R-rated movie in the theater. And then I'm going to go get drafted." "Oh, let's skip class and go see 500 Days of Summer." "You know what this means, don't you?" Kath looked up at the giant map of Watford they'd taped to the ceiling. Their dad had paid one of the designers at work to draw it for them one year for Christmas. "It means we're too old for Watford." Ren sat back against her headboard and looked up. "Oh, you're right." "It's not that I ever thought it was real," Kath said after a minute, "even when we were kids. But still, Ren sighed. "Now I'm too sad to start smoking." Ren was an actual nerd, despite her fancy hair and her handsome boyfriends. If Kath had found that wormhole, that rabbit hole, that doorway in the back of the closet, Ren would have gone through with her. Ren might still go through with her, even in their current state of estrangement. That would be another good thing about finding a magic portal. She'd have an excuse to call Ren. But Levi wasn't a nerd. He liked real life too much. For Levi, Simon Snow was just a story, and he loved stories. Kath had fallen behind on Carry On Simon since this thing with Levi started, which, on the one hand, was perfectly okay. She wasn't such a nerd that she'd rather make up love scenes with boys than be in one. On the other hand, Simon Snow and the Eighth Dance was coming out in less than 3 months, and Kath had to finish Carry On by then. She had to. The Eighth Dance was the very end of the Simon Snow saga. It was going to settle everything, and Kath had to settle it her way first, before Gemma T. Leslie closed the curtains. Kath could study when Levi was in the room. He needed to study, too. He sat on her bed and listened to his lectures,
Sometimes he played solitaire at the same time, but she couldn't write with him there. She couldn't get lost in the world of mages. She was too lost in Levi. Levi was 5'11". She'd thought he was taller. He was born on a ranch, literally. His mom's labor came on so fast that she sat down on the stairs and caught him herself. His dad cut the cord.
"I'm telling you," Levi said, "it's not that different from calving."
He lived with 5 other guys. He drove a truck because he thought everybody should drive a truck, that driving around in a car was like living with your hands tied behind your back.
"What if you need to haul something?"
"I can't think of a single time my family has needed a truck," Kath said.
"That's because you've got car blinders on. You don't even allow yourself to see outsized opportunities."
"Like what?"
"Free firewood."
"We don't have a fireplace."
"Antlers," he said.
Kath snorted.
"Antique couches."
"Antique couches?"
"Cather, someday, when I get you up to my room, I will entertain you on my beautiful antique couch."
When he talked about the ranch or his family or his truck, Levi's voice slowed down, almost like he had an accent, a drawl, a drag on his vowel sounds. She couldn't tell if it was for show or not.
"When I get you up to my room," had become a joke between them. They didn't have to meet at the Union or wait for Reagan to leave them alone in Kath's room.
They could hang out at Levi's house any time. But so far, Kath hadn't let that happen. Levi lived in a house, like an adult. Kath lived in a dorm, like a young adult, like someone who was still on adulthood probation. She could handle Levi here, in this room, where nothing was grown up yet, where there was a twin bed and posters of Simon Snow on the wall, where Reagan could walk in at any minute. Levi must feel like somebody'd pulled a bait and switch on him. Back when they were nothing to each other, back when she thought he belonged to somebody else, Kath had crawled into bed with him and fallen asleep mouth to mouth. Now that they were seeing each other, not really dating, but every day seeing each other, they only sometimes held hands. And when they did, Kath sort of pretended that they weren't. She just didn't acknowledge it. And she never touched him first. She wanted to. God, she wanted to tackle him and roll around in him like a cat in a field of daisies. Which is exactly why she didn't. Because she was Little Red Riding Hood. She was a virgin and an idiot, and Levi could make her breathless in the elevator, just resting his hand through her coat on the small of her back. This was something she might talk to Ren about, if she still had a Ren. Ren would tell her not to be stupid, that boys wanted to touch you so badly they didn't care if you were good at it. But Levi wasn't a boy. He wasn't panting to get up somebody's shirt for the first time. Levi had been up shirts. He probably just took them off. The thought made Kath shiver. And then she thought of Reagan, and it turned into more of a shudder. Kath wasn't planning to be a virgin forever, but she'd planned to do all this stuff with somebody like Abel, somebody who was, if anything, more pathetic and inexperienced than she was, somebody who didn't make her feel so out of control. If she thought about it objectively, Abel might actually be better looking than Levi in some ways. Abel was a swimmer. He had broad shoulders and thick arms, and he had hair like Frankie Avalon, according to Kath's grandma. Levi was thin and weedy, and his hair, well, his hair, but everything about him made Kath feel loose and immoral. He had this thing where he bit his bottom lip and raised an eyebrow when he was trying to decide whether to laugh at something. Madness. Then, if he decided to laugh, his shoulders would start shaking and his eyebrows would pull up in the middle. Levi's eyebrows were pornographic.
If Kath were making this decision just on eyebrows, she would have been up to his room a long time ago. If she were being rational about this, there was a lot on the touching continuum between holding hands and eyebrow-driven sex. But she wasn't being rational. And Levi made Kath feel like her whole body was a slippery slope. She sat at her desk. He sat on her bed and kicked her chair.
"Hey," he said. "I was thinking that this weekend we should go on a real date. We could go out to dinner, see a movie."
He was smiling, so Kath smiled back. And then she stopped. "I can't."
"Why not? You already have a date? Every night this weekend?"
"Sort of. I'm going home. I've been going home more this semester to check on my dad." Levi's smile dimmed, but he nodded, like he understood.
"How are you getting home?"
"This girl down the hall, Erin, she goes home every weekend to see her boyfriend, which is probably a good idea because she's boring and awful, and he's bound to meet somebody better if she doesn't keep an eye on him."
"I'll drive you home."
"On your white horse?"
"In my red truck."
Kath rolled her eyes. "No, you'd have to make 2 round trips. It'd take $1,000 in gas."
"I don't care. I want to meet your dad. And I'll get to hang out with you for a few hours in the truck, in a non-emergency situation."
"It's okay. I can ride with Erin. She's not that bad."
"You don't want me to meet your dad?"
"I haven't even thought about you meeting my dad."
"You haven't?"
He sounded wounded, mildly wounded, like hangnail wounded, but still. "Have you thought about introducing me to your parents?" she asked.
"Yeah," he said. "I figured you'd go with me to my sister's wedding."
"When is it?"
"May."
"We've only been dating for 3.5 weeks, right?"
"That's 6 months in freshman time."
"You're not a freshman."
"Cather."
Levi hooked his feet on her chair and pulled it closer to the bed.
"I really like you."
Kath took a deep breath. "I really like you, too." He grinned and raised a hand-drawn eyebrow.
"Can I drive you to Omaha?"
Kath nodded.
"That does it," Simon said, charging forward, climbing right over the long dinner table. Penelope grabbed the tail of his cape, and he nearly landed face first on a bench. He recovered quickly. "Let go, Penny!" and ran hard at Basil, both fists raised and ready. Basil didn't move. "Good fences make good neighbors," he whispered, just barely tipping his wand. Simon's fist slammed into a solid barrier just inches from the other boy's unflinching jaw. He pulled his hand back, yelping, still stumbling against the spell. This made Dev and Neil and all the rest of Basil's cronies cackle like drunk hyenas. But Basil himself stayed still. When he spoke, it was so softly, only Simon could hear him.
"Is that how you're going to do it, Snow? Is that how you're going to best your humdrum?"
He dropped the spell with a twitch of his wand, just as Simon regained his balance.
"Pathetic,"
Basil said, and walked away. From Chapter 4, Simon Snow and the Five Blades, copyright 2008, by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 26. Professor Piper held out her arms when Kath walked in. "Kath, you're back. I wish I could say that I knew you would be, but I wasn't sure. I was hoping." Kath was back. She'd come to tell Professor Piper that she'd made up her mind. Again, she wasn't going to write this story. She had enough to write right now, and enough to worry about. This project was leftover crappiness from first semester. Just thinking about it made Kath's mouth taste like failure, like plagiarism and stupid Nick stealing her best lines. Kath wanted to put it behind her. But once she was standing in Professor Piper's office, and Professor Piper was blue fairy smiling at her, Kath couldn't say it out loud. This is so obviously about me needing a mother figure, she thought, disgusted with herself. I wonder if I'm going to get swoony around middle-aged women until I am one. It was really kind of you to offer me a second chance, Kath said, following the professor's gesture to sit down. This is when she was supposed to say, but I'm going to have to say no. Instead, she said, I guess I'd be an idiot not to take it. Professor Piper beamed at her. She leaned forward with an elbow on the desktop, resting her cheek against her fist like she was posing for a senior picture. So, she said, do you have an idea in mind for your story? No. Kath squeezed her fists shut and rubbed them into her thighs. Every time I've tried to come up with something, I just feel empty. Professor Piper nodded. You said something last time that I've been thinking about. You said that you didn't want to build your own world. Kath looked up. Yes, exactly. I don't have brave new worlds inside of me begging to get out. I don't want to start from nothing like that. But Kath, most writers don't. Most of us aren't Gemma T. Leslie. She waved a hand around the office. We write about the worlds we already know. I've written 4 books, and they all take place within 120 miles of my hometown. Most of them are about things that happened in my real life. But you write historical novels. The professor nodded. I take something that happened to me in 1983, and I make it happen to somebody else in 1943. I pick my life apart that way, try to understand it better by writing straight through it. So everything in your books is true? The professor tilted her head and hummed. Yes. And no. Everything starts with a little truth. Then I spin my webs around it. Sometimes I spin completely away from it, but the point is, I don't start with nothing. I've never written anything that isn't magical, Kath said. You still can, if that's what you want. But you don't have to start at the molecular level, with some sort of big bang in your head. Kath pressed her nails into her palms. Maybe for this story, Professor Piper said delicately, you could start with something real, with one day from your life. Something that confused or intrigued you. Something you want to explore. Start there and see what happens. You can keep it true, or you can let it turn into something else. You can add magic, but give yourself a starting point. Kath nodded, more because she was ready to leave than because she'd processed everything the professor was saying. I want to meet again, Professor Piper said, in a few weeks. Let's get back together and talk about where you are. Kath agreed and hurried toward the door, hoping she wouldn't seem rude. A few weeks, sure. Like a few weeks will fix the hole in my head. She pushed her way through a mob of gaudy English majors, then escaped out into the snow. Levi wouldn't put her laundry hamper down. I can carry it, Kath said. Her head was still in Professor Piper's office, and she wasn't in the mood for, well, for Levi, for the constant good-natured game of him. If Levi were a dog, he'd be a golden retriever. If he were a game, he'd be ping-pong, incessant and bouncing and light. Kath didn't feel like playing. I've got this, he said. You get the door. No, seriously, she said. I can carry it. Levi was all smiles and fond glances. Sweetheart, get the door. I've got this. Kath pressed her fingertips into her temples. Did you just call me sweetheart? He grinned. It just came out. It felt good. Sweetheart? Would you prefer honey? That reminds me of my mom. What about baby? No. Love boat? Kitten? Rubber duck? He paused. You know what? I'm sticking with sweetheart. I don't even know where to start, Kath said.
Start with the door.
Levi, I can carry my own gross, dirty laundry.
Kath, I'm not going to let you.
There's no letting. It's my laundry.
Possession is 9/10 of the law.
I don't need you to carry things for me. I have 2 functioning arms.
That's not the point, he said. What kind of creep would I be if I let my girl carry something heavy while I walked along swinging my arms?
Your girl? The kind that respects my wishes, she said, and my strength, and my arms. Levi grinned some more, because he wasn't taking her seriously.
I have a lot of respect for your arms. I like how they're attached to the rest of you.
You're making me feel fragile and limp. Give me the laundry. She reached for it. He stepped back.
Cather, I know you're capable of carrying this, but I'm not capable of letting you. I literally couldn't walk next to you empty-handed. It's nothing personal. I'd do this for anyone with 2 X chromosomes.
Even worse.
Why? Why is that worse? That I'm respectful to women.
It's not respectful. It's undermining. Respect our strength.
I do.
His hair fell in his eyes, and he tried to blow it away.
Being chivalrous is respectful. Women have been oppressed and persecuted since the beginning of time. If I can make their lives easier with my superior upper body strength, I'm going to, at every opportunity.
Superior.
Yes, superior. Do you want to arm wrestle?
I don't need superior upper body strength to carry my own dirty laundry. She put her fingers on the handles, trying to push his aside.
You're deliberately missing the point, he said.
No, that's you.
Your face is flushed. Did you know that?
Well, she said, I'm frustrated.
Don't make me angry kiss you.
Give me the laundry.
Tempers rising, faces flushed. This is how it happens.
That made Kath laugh, and that was irritating, too. She used most of her inferior upper body strength to shove the hamper into his chest. Levi pushed it back gently, but didn't let go.
Let's fight about this the next time I try to do something nice for you, okay?
She looked up at his eyes. The way he looked back at her made her feel wide open, like every thought must be closed captioned on her face. She let go of the hamper and picked up her laptop bag, opening the door.
Finally, he said. My triceps are killing me.
This was the coldest, snowiest winter Kath could remember. It was the middle of March already, technically spring, but it still felt like January. Kath put on her snow boots every morning without thinking about it. She'd gotten so used to the snow, to being a pedestrian in the snow, that she hadn't even thought to check the weather today. She hadn't thought about road conditions and visibility, or the fact that maybe this wasn't the best afternoon for Levi to drive her home. She was thinking about it now. It felt like they were the only car on the interstate. They couldn't see the sun. They couldn't see the road. Every 10 minutes or so, red taillights would emerge out of the static ahead of them, and Levi would ease onto the brakes. He'd stopped talking almost an hour ago. His mouth was straight, and he was squinting at the windshield like he needed glasses. We should go back, Kath whispered.
Yeah, he said, rubbing his mouth with the back of his hand, then clenching a fist around the gear shift. But I think it might be easier now to keep going. It's worse behind us. I thought we'd beat it to Omaha.
There was a metallic ringing as a car passed them on the left. What's that noise? She asked.
Tire chains.
Levi didn't sound scared, but he was being so awfully quiet. I'm sorry, she said. I wasn't thinking about the weather.
My fault, he said, sparing a second to smile at her. I didn't want to let you down. Think I'll feel worse if I actually kill you.
That would not be chivalrous. Levi smiled again. She reached out to the gear shift and touched his hand, running her fingers along his, then pulling them away. They were quiet again for a few minutes. Maybe not that long. It was hard to judge time with everything so tense and gray.
What are you thinking about?
Levi asked. Nothing.
Not nothing. You've seemed thinky and weird ever since I got to your room. Is this about me meeting your dad?
No, Kath said quickly. I kind of forgot about that. More quiet.
What then?
Just something that happened with a professor. I can tell you when we're not in mortal peril. Levi felt on the seat for her hand, so she gave it to him. He clutched it. You're not in mortal peril. He moved his hand back to the gear shift.
Maybe stranded in a ditch for a few hours, peril. Tell me, I can't really talk right now, but I can listen. I'd like to listen.
Kath turned away from the window and faced him. It was nice to look at Levi when he couldn't look back. She liked his profile. It was very flat. A straight line from his long forehead into his longish nose. His nose veered out of it at the tip, but not much. And another straight line from his nose to his chin. His chin went soft sometimes when he smiled or when he was feigning surprise, but it never quite mushed away. She was going to kiss him there someday, right at the edge of his jaw, where his chin was most vulnerable.
What happened in class? He asked.
After class, I went... Well, okay, so you know how last semester I was taking fiction writing?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't turn in my final project. I was supposed to write a short story, and I didn't.
What?
His chin tucked back in surprise.
Why?
Lots of reasons. This was more complicated than Kath thought. She didn't want to tell Levi how unhappy she'd been last semester, how she hadn't wanted to come back to school, how she hadn't wanted to see him. She didn't want him to think he had that much power over her. I didn't want to write it, she said. I mean, there's more to it than that, but mostly I didn't want to. I had writer's block, and my dad, you know. I didn't come back to school finals week after he had his breakdown.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's true. So I decided not to finish my final project. But my fiction writing professor didn't turn in my grade. She wants to give me a second chance. She said I could write the story this semester. And I sort of said that I would.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It's not awesome?
No, it is. Just... It was nice to have it behind me, to feel like I was through with that whole idea, fiction writing.
You write fiction all the time.
I write fan fiction.
Don't be tricky with me right now. I'm driving through a blizzard.
A car materialized ahead of them, and Levi's face tensed. Kath waited until he relaxed again. I don't want to make up my own characters, my own world. I don't have that inside of me. Neither of them spoke. They were moving so slowly. Something caught Kath's eye through Levi's window. A semi-truck had jackknifed in the median. She took a stuttering breath, and Levi found her hand again.
Only 15 miles, he said.
Does he need help?
There was a state patrol car.
I didn't see it.
I'm so sorry about this, Levi said.
Stop, she said. You didn't make it snow.
Your dad's going to hate me.
She raised his hand to her mouth and kissed his knuckles. His forehead wrinkled, almost like it hurt. Kath listened to the windshield wipers and watched the front window for whatever was coming next.
Are you sure?
Levi asked after a few miles.
About the fiction writing? Are you sure you don't have that inside you? You're fathomless when it comes to Simon and Baz.
They're different. They already exist. I just move them around. He nodded.
Maybe you're like Frank Sinatra. He didn't write his own songs, but he was a genius interpreter.
I hate Frank Sinatra.
Come on. Nobody hates Frank Sinatra.
He treated women like things.
Okay.
Levi adjusted himself in the seat, shaking his neck out.
Not Frank Sinatra, then. Aretha Franklin.
Blech, diva.
Roy Acuff?
Who? Levi smiled, and it made Kath kiss his fingers again. He gave her a quick, questioning look.
The point is, he said softly.
Something about the storm made them both talk softly.
There are different kinds of talent. Maybe your talent is in interpretation. Maybe you're a stylist.
And you think that counts?
Tim Burton didn't come up with Batman. Peter Jackson didn't write Lord of the Rings.
In the right light, you are such a nerd. His smile opened up. The truck hit a slick spot, and he pulled his hand away, but the smile lingered. A coffee pot-shaped water tower slowly moved past his window. They were on the edge of town now. There were more cars here, on the road and in the ditches.
You still have to write that story, Levi said.
Why?
To bring your grade up. Don't you need to keep your GPA up for your scholarship?
She'd only just told him about the scholarship a few nights ago.
I'm dating a genius, he'd said, and a scholar.
Of course she wanted to keep her GPA up.
Yeah? So write the story. It doesn't have to be great. You don't have to be Ernest Hemingway. You're lucky you're getting a second chance.
Kath sighed. Yeah.
I don't know where you live, he said. You're going to have to give me instructions.
Just be careful, Kath said, leaning in quickly to kiss his smooth cheek.
You can't shave your head. You'll look mental.
I look worse than mental with this hair. I look evil.
There's no such thing as evil hair,
Simon giggled. They were lying on the floor of the library, between two rows of shelves. Baz on his back, Simon propped up on one shoulder.
Look at me,
Baz said, pushing his chin-length hair back from his forehead.
Every famous vampire has a widow's peak like this. I'm a cliché. It's like I went to the barber and asked for a Dracula.
Simon was laughing so hard, he nearly fell forward onto Baz. Baz shoved him up with his free hand.
I mean, honestly,
Baz said, still holding back his hair, trying to keep a straight face.
It's like an arrow on my face, this way to the vampire.
Simon swatted Baz's hand away and kissed the point of his hairline as gently as he could.
I like your hair,
Simon said against Baz's forehead.
Really, really.
From Carry On Simon, posted March 2012, by fanfics.net author Magicath.
Chapter 27. When they pulled crunchily into Kath's driveway, Kath exhaled completely for the first time in 2 hours. Levi leaned back and let his head fall against the seat. He opened and closed his hands, stretching his fingers.
Let's never do that again, he said.
Kath unbuckled her seatbelt and slid toward him, pushing her arms around his shoulders. Levi smiled so wide, she wished it hadn't taken an adrenaline rush for her to feel like she could hug him like this. His arms moved around her waist, and she held him tightly, her face in his coat. Levi's mouth was close to her ear.
You shouldn't reward me for endangering your life, you know. Think of the precedent you're setting.
Kath held him even tighter. He was good. He was good, and she didn't want to lose him. Not that she felt like she was going to lose him on the interstate. Just in general. In general, she didn't want to lose him.
I wouldn't have thought twice about driving through this back home, he said quietly, by myself. But I shouldn't have done this with you. I'm sorry.
She shook her head. The street was silent, and the cab of the truck was dark gray and white bright, and after a few minutes, Levi's hand trailed up her back and down again.
Cather,
he whispered,
I really like you.
When they got out of the truck, the windshield was covered with snow. Levi carried her laundry. Kath let him. He was nervous about meeting her dad, and she was nervous about her dad, period. She'd talked to him every day since Christmas break, and she'd been home to visit. He seemed like he was doing fine, but you never knew with him. When Kath opened the door, he was right there in the living room. There were papers everywhere, onion skin taped to the curtains and walls, all his ideas sorted into buckets. And her dad was sitting on the coffee table, chewing on the end of a Sharpie. "Kath," he said, smiling.
"Hey, is it Kath time already?"
He looked at the windows, then down at his wrist. He wasn't wearing a watch. Then he saw Levi and stopped. He took his glasses off his head and put them on, standing. "Dad, this is Levi. He gave me a ride." That hadn't come out right. Kath tried again. "He's, Levi." Levi held out his hand.
"Mr. Avery, nice to meet you."
He was drawling. Maybe his accent was a nervous tick.
"It's nice to meet you," her dad said.
And then,
"Levi. I'm really sorry about taking Cather out in this weather," Levi said. "I didn't realize how bad it was."
Nothing registered on her dad's face. He looked toward the windows.
"Is it messy out? I guess I haven't been paying attention."
Levi's face went nearly blank. He smiled politely. Her dad looked at Kath and remembered that he was going to hug her.
"Are you hungry?" he said. "Is it dinner time? I've been in a Franken fog all day."
"Did you guys get the Franken Beans account?" she asked.
"Still pitching. Eternally pitching. So, Levi," he said, "are you staying for dinner?"
"Oh," Levi said. "Thank you, sir, but I better get back while there's still some light." Kath wheeled around. "Are you kidding me? You're not driving back to Lincoln in this."
"I'll be fine," he said. "Four-wheel drive, snow tires, cell phone."
"No," Kath said harshly. "Don't be an idiot. We're lucky that we got here, okay? You're not going back." Levi bit his lips and raised his eyebrows helplessly. Her dad walked past them to the door.
"Jesus," he said from the porch. "She's right, Levi. I'm just going to keep saying your name until I remember it. Is that okay?" "Yes, sir."
Kath pulled on Levi's sleeve. "You're staying, all right?" He licked his bottom lip nervously. She wasn't used to seeing him nervous.
"Yes, ma'am," he whispered.
"Okay," her dad said, walking back into the living room.
"Dinner."
He still looked like he was in a Franken fog. "I got it," Kath said. "You keep working. You look like you're on to something." He smiled at her gratefully.
"Thanks, honey. Just give me another half hour to sort through this."
He turned back to his concepts.
"Levi, take off your coat."
Kath started taking off her boots and hung her coat on a hook. She pulled on Levi's sleeve again. "Take off your coat." He did. "Come on," she said, walking into the kitchen. Everything seemed in order. She glanced into her dad's room and into the bathroom. No toothpaste poetry.
"I'm sorry,"
Levi said when they got into the kitchen. "Shut up," she said. "You're making me nervous."
"I should go."
"Not as nervous as I'd be if you were driving home in a blizzard. Jesus, sit down. It's okay, okay?" He smiled a Levi smile.
"Okay,"
and sat down on one of the stools. "It's weird to see you here," she said. "Like worlds colliding." Levi ran his fingers through his hair, shaking out a bit of snow.
"Your dad seems unfazed."
"He's used to guys being around." Levi cocked an eyebrow.
"Really?"
"My sister," Kath said, feeling her cheeks warm. She opened the refrigerator. Her grandmother had obviously been here. All her dad's crusty condiment bottles were gone, and there were Tupperware containers labeled with grease pencil, plus fresh milk and eggs and yogurt. She opened the freezer. Healthy choice meals, probably the same healthy choice meals as the last time Kath was home. She looked over at Levi. "How do you feel about eggs?"
"Awesome,"
he smiled.
I feel awesome about eggs.
One of the Tupperware containers had Italian sausage with red peppers. Kath emptied it into a pan and decided to make poached eggs, just to show off. There was bread for toast and butter. This wouldn't be half bad.
Can I help you? Levi asked.
No, I've got this. She glanced over her shoulder at him, then smiled back down at the stove. Let me do something for you for once.
Okay,
he said.
What's your dad doing in there?
She told him. She told him about fucking Kelly and Gravioli and the time they'd gone to the Grand Canyon on a family vacation and their dad had sat in the rental car with a notebook and a Sharpie. Her dad had worked on a lot of agricultural clients over the years, this being Nebraska, and Levi actually recognized a line he'd written for a fertilizer. Bigger yields, brighter fields. Trust next year to spurt.
Your dad's a madman, he said.
Kath laughed, and Levi looked sheepish.
That's not what I meant.
They ate at the dining room table, and by the middle of dinner, Kath felt like maybe she didn't have to be so nervous. Levi had relaxed into a slightly more polite version of his usual everyone-must-love-me self, and her dad just seemed happy that Kath was home. Her eggs were perfect. The only sour note was when her dad asked about Wren. Kath shrugged and changed the subject. He didn't seem to notice. He was a little twitchy and tappy tonight, a little distant, but Kath decided he was just lost in work. His color was good, and he told her he'd been jogging every morning. Every once in a while, he seemed to surface enough to give Levi an appraising look. After dinner, Levi insisted on clearing the table and doing the dishes. As soon as he was in the kitchen, her dad leaned over.
Is that your boyfriend in there?
Kath rolled her eyes, but she nodded.
For how long?
A month, Kath said. Sort of. Longer, I don't know.
How old is he?
21.
He looks older.
It's the hair. Her dad nodded.
He seems nice.
He's the nicest, Kath said as sincerely as she could, wanting him to believe her. He's a good guy, I swear.
I didn't know you'd broken up with Abel.
Once the dishes were done, Kath dried, she and Levi were going to watch a movie, but her dad winced when she started moving his papers off the couch.
Do you guys mind watching TV upstairs? I promise, Kath, I'm all yours tomorrow. I just...
Sure, she said. Not too late, okay? He smiled, but he was already turning back to his notebook. Kath looked at Levi and motioned her head toward the stairs. She felt him on the steps behind her, her stomach tightening all the way. When they got to the top, Levi touched the back of her arm, and she stepped away from him into her bedroom. It looked like a kid's room now that she was imagining it through his eyes. It was big, a half-story, with a slanted roof, deep pink carpet, and two matching, cream-colored canopy beds. Every inch of the walls and ceiling was covered with posters and pictures. She and Wren never really took things down as they got older. They just put new things up. Shabby Simon Snow chic. When Kath looked up at Levi, his eyes were sparkling, and he was biting his bottom lip. She pushed him, and he burst into laughter.
This is the cutest thing I've ever seen, he said.
She sighed. Okay.
No, seriously. I feel like this room should be preserved so that people of the future know what it was like to be a teenage girl in the 21st century.
I get it.
Oh, God. Levi said, still giggling. I can't take it.
He started walking back down the stairs, and then, after a second, he walked back up and re-burst into laughter. Okay, Kath said, walking over to her bed and sitting down against the headboard. Her comforter was pink and green plaid. She had Simon Snow pillowcases. There was a Sanrio mobile hanging over her head like a dream catcher. Levi strolled over to her bed and sat down in the middle.
You look so blindingly cute right now. I feel like I need to make a pinhole in a piece of paper just to look at you.
She rolled her eyes, and Levi swung his feet up, pushing them through hers so their legs crossed at the shins.
I still can't believe your dad sent me up to your room the first time he met me. All he knows about me is that I took you out into a blizzard.
He's just like that, Kath said. He's never kept us on much of a leash.
Never? Not even when you were kids?
Uh-uh, she shook her head. He trusts us. Plus, you saw him. His mind wanders.
Well, when you meet my parents, don't expect my mom to let us out of her sight.
I'll bet Reagan loved that. Levi's eyes widened.
There is no love lost between my mom and Reagan, believe me. Reagan's older sister got pregnant her senior year, and my mom was pretty sure it ran in families. She had her whole prayer circle working on us. When she found out we broke up, she actually raised her hands to heaven.
Kath smiled uncomfortably and pulled a pillow into her lap, picking at the fabric.
Does it bother you when I talk about Reagan?
He asked. I'm the one who brought her up.
Does it?
A little, Kath said. Tell me more about your mom.
I finally get you up to a room, and now we're talking about my ex-girlfriend and my mom.
Kath smiled down at the pillow.
Well, he said, my mom grew up on a ranch. She quilts. She's active in her church.
What kind?
Baptist.
What's her name?
Marlise, he said. What's your mom's name?
Laura.
What's she like?
Kath raised her eyebrows and shrugged. She was an artist. I mean, maybe she still is. She and my dad met in an ad agency right out of college. He knocked one of his knees against hers.
And?
Kath sighed. And she didn't want to get married or get pregnant or anything like that. They weren't even dating seriously. She was trying to get a job in Minneapolis or Chicago. But she got pregnant. I think it ran in her family, too. There were generations of pregnancies. So they got married. Kath looked up at him. And it was a disaster. She didn't want one baby, so two was a nasty surprise.
How do you know all that? Did your dad tell you?
She told us. She thought we should know who she really was and how she'd ended up in such a lamentable situation. I guess so that we wouldn't make the same mistakes.
What did she expect you to learn?
I don't know, Kath said. Stay away from men? Maybe just use a condom. Or stay away from men who don't know how to work a condom.
You're making me appreciate the prayer circle.
Kath laughed for half a breath.
When did she leave? He asked.
He already knew that her mom had left. Kath had told him once in a way that let him know she didn't want to elaborate. But now... When we were 8, she said.
Did you see it coming?
No. Kath looked up at him. I don't think anyone would ever see that coming. I mean, when you're a kid, you don't expect your mom to leave, no matter what, you know? Even if you think she doesn't like you.
I'm sure she liked you.
She left, Kath said, and she never came back. Who does that?
I don't know. Someone who's missing a piece.
Kath felt tears in her eyes and tried to blink them away.
Do you miss her?
Levi asked. No, Kath said quietly. I couldn't care less about her. I miss Ren. Levi pulled his legs back and leaned forward, crawling up Kath's bed until he was sitting next to her. He put his arm around her shoulder and pulled her into his chest.
Okay.
She nodded and leaned into him hesitantly, like she wasn't sure how she'd fit. He traced circles on her shoulder with his thumb.
You know, he said, I keep wanting to say that it's like Simon Snow threw up in here. But it's more like someone else ate Simon Snow, like somebody went to an all-you-care-to-eat Simon Snow buffet and then threw up in here.
Kath laughed. I like it.
Never said I didn't like it.
As long as they were talking, it was easy. And Levi was always talking. He told her about 4-H. What do the H's stand for?
Head, heart, hands, health. They don't have 4-H in South Omaha.
They do, but it stands for hard, hip-hop, and homie don't play that.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that. You missed out on a lot of competitive rabbit breeding.
You raised rabbits?
Prize-winning rabbits, he said. And one year, a sow.
It's like you grew up on a different planet.
Head, heart, hands, health. That's really nice, don't you think?
Are there photos of you somewhere with rabbits?
And blue ribbons, he said.
I might have to make a pinhole camera just to look at them.
Are you kidding? I was so cute, you'll have to wear special glasses.
Oh, hey, I just remembered the 4-H pledge.
I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world.
Kath closed her eyes. Where are those glasses? Then he told her about the state fair, more rabbits, more sows, plus a year of serious brownie making, and he showed her photos of his four blonde sisters on his phone. Kath couldn't keep track of their names. They were all from the Bible.
Old Testament, Levi said.
He had one sister Kath's age and one who was still in high school. Doesn't this creep you out?
What?
Dating someone as young as your little sister?
Dating my little sister would creep me out.
I'm still a teenager.
He shrugged. You're legal. She shoved him. Kath, I'm only 2.5 years older than you.
College years, she said. That's like a decade. He rolled his eyes. My dad thought you were 30.
He pulled back his chin. He did not. Did he really? She giggled.
No. Levi saw that she had Simon Snow seen it and insisted that they play. Kath thought she'd cream him, but his memory was insane, and all the questions were about the movies, not the books.
Too bad for you that there aren't any questions about homosexual subtext, Levi said. I want you to make me a blue ribbon when I win this.
At midnight, Kath started thinking about her dad downstairs and how he should really be getting some sleep. Are you tired? She asked Levi.
Do I get my own tent bed?
It's called a canopy, and no, you get your own couch. If I tell my dad you're tired, it'll force him to stop working. Levi nodded. Do you need pajamas or something?
I can sleep in my clothes. It's only one night.
She found an extra toothbrush for him, dug out a clean sheet, and grabbed one of her pillows. When they got downstairs, the papers had multiplied, but her dad gamely cleared off the couch and kissed Kath on the forehead. She made him promise not to keep working in his bedroom. Don't make me yell at you in front of company. Kath made up the couch, and when Levi got out of the bathroom, his face and the front of his hair damp, she handed him the pillow. He set it on the couch and grinned at her. Do you need anything else? She asked. He shook his head. Kath took a step backwards, and he caught her hand. She ran her fingers along his palm, pulling away. Good night. She said,
"Good night, sweetheart."
Kath woke up at 3, her head too clear and her heart beating too fast. She tiptoed down the stairs, but she knew they'd still creak. She walked through the kitchen, made sure the stove was turned off, that the back door was locked, that everything was okay. Her dad's door was open. She stood in the doorway until she could hear him breathe. Then she walked as quietly as she could past the couch. The front door was locked. The curtains were drawn. A snowplow was crawling up their street. When she turned around, Levi had raised himself up on his elbow and was watching her. He'd taken off his sweater and had on a loose white t-shirt. His hair was wild, and his lips and eyes were thick with sleep. Head, heart, hands.
What's wrong?
He whispered. Kath shook her head and hurried back upstairs. Levi had to leave before breakfast. He had to get to Starbucks. Jim Flowers, her dad's favorite weatherman, said that the roads were much better, but that everybody should take it slow out there. Her dad said he'd drive Kath back to school on Sunday, but Levi looked at the snowed-in Honda and said it was no trouble to come back. "So," her dad said. They were standing on the porch watching Levi's truck turn the corner. "That's your new boyfriend." She nodded. "Still dying to move home? Transfer to UNO? Spend your whole life taking care of your mentally unstable father?" Kath pushed past him into the living room. "Breakfast?" It was a good weekend. 5,000 words of carry-on, fish tacos with radish and shredded cabbage, only two more conversations about Ren, and Sunday afternoon brought Levi back, taking her front steps two at a time.
The humdrum bounced a small red ball in its hand. Simon had carried that ball everywhere for at least a year. He'd lost it when he came to Watford. He hadn't needed it anymore.
"You're lying," Simon said. "You're not me. You're no part of me." "I'm what's left of you,"
the humdrum said. And Simon would swear his own voice was never so high and so sweet. From Chapter 23, Simon Snow and the Seventh Oak, copyright 2010, by Gemma T. Leslie.
Chapter 28.
"Geez, Cather, if you need a break, just tell me." Levi was lying on her dorm room bed, and he'd just told her that he was going home for a few days for his sister's birthday party, and instead of saying, "I'll miss you," or even "have fun," Kath had said, "Oh, that's perfect." "I didn't mean it like that," she apologized. "It's just, my dad's going to Tulsa this weekend, so he doesn't need me, and if you're going home, you won't need me, and that means I have all weekend to write. I'm so far behind on Carry On." So far behind, and so out of rhythm. If she didn't work on her fic, at least a little bit, every day, Kath lost the thread of it, the momentum. She ended up writing long, go-nowhere conversations, or scenes where Baz and Simon memorized the planes in each other's faces. These scenes were weirdly popular with commenters, but they didn't help the story along. "I'll still need you," Levi said, teasing. There followed a long, go-nowhere conversation during which she tried to memorize the planes of his face. It was harder than you'd think. They were constantly shifting. She'd almost kissed him then. She'd almost kissed him again this afternoon when he'd stopped by her dormitory to say goodbye on his way out of town. Kath had stood on the sidewalk, and Levi had leaned out of the cab of his truck, and it would have been so easy to just meet him halfway. It would have been safe, too, because he was trapped in the truck and also leaving the city, so no cascade effect, no one thing leads to another, no another. If Kath had kissed him, if she'd let Levi know that he could kiss her, she wouldn't still be living off that half-asleep kiss from November. It had been 6 hours since Levi left for Arnold, and Kath had already written 2,000 words of Simon. She'd made so much progress tonight, she was thinking about taking a break tomorrow to start her fiction writing assignment. Maybe she'd even finish it. It would be awesome to tell Levi she was done when he came home on Sunday. Kath was leaning back in her chair, stretching her arms, when the door flew open and Reagan barged in. Kath didn't even jump. "Well, look who we have here," Reagan said, "all by her lonesome. Shouldn't you be off bonding somewhere with the pride of Arnold?"
"He went home for his sister's birthday."
"I know."
Reagan walked over to her closet and stood there, deliberating. "He tried to get me to ride with him. That boy's allergic to solitude."
"He tried to get me to go with him, too," Kath said. "Where would you have stayed?"
"He hadn't worked that out."
"Ha," Reagan said, loosening her Olive Garden necktie. "I'd go back to Arnold for that, to see you meet Marlise."
"Is she really that bad?"
"Probably not anymore. I broke her in for you."
Reagan lifted her white button-down shirt over her head and reached for a black sweater. Her bra was bright purple. This was exactly the sort of thing that crawled into Kath's head and kept her from kissing Levi. Getting to see his ex-girlfriend's technicolor lingerie, knowing exactly who it was who broke him in. If only Kath didn't like Reagan so much. Reagan crossed over to Kath's side of the room, leaning over and sticking the top of her head in Kath's face. "Does my hair smell like garlic bread?" Kath took a cautious breath. "Not unpleasantly." "Damn," Reagan said, standing back up. "I don't have time to wash it." She shook her hair out in front of the mirror on the door, then picked up her purse. "Okay," she said. "Unless something goes incredibly wrong, you should have the room to yourself tonight. Don't do anything I wouldn't do."
"I haven't so far," Kath said dryly.
Reagan snorted and walked out. Kath frowned at the door.
"Don't be jealous."
There was already a rule about this, but Kath should make another one, just for herself. "Don't compare yourself to Reagan. It's like comparing apples and grapefruits." When her phone rang a few minutes later, Kath shook off the last of her green feelings and smiled. Levi was supposed to call her before he went to bed. She picked up the phone and was about to answer when she saw Ren's name on the screen. Ren. She and Ren hadn't talked. They hadn't even texted since Christmas break, almost 3 months ago. Why would Ren be calling her now? Maybe it was a mistake. Maybe it was just another wrong C. Kath held the phone in her palm and stared at it, like she was waiting for an explanation. The phone stopped ringing. Kath watched. It started again. Ren. Kath pushed accept and held the phone up to her ear. "Hello? Hello?" It wasn't Ren's voice. "Cather? Yes? Thank God. It's your mom. Your mom." Kath pulled her ear away. "Cather?" "Yes," Kath said faintly. "I'm at the hospital with Ren." "Your mom. Cather. Ren." "Why? Is she okay?" "She's had too much to drink. Someone... honestly, I don't really know anything. Someone dropped her off. I thought maybe you'd know."
"No," Kath said. "I don't."
"I'm coming. You're at the hospital?"
"St. Elizabeth's. I called your dad already. He's flying back."
"Right," Kath said. "I'm coming."
"Okay," Laura said. "Your mom."
"Good." Kath nodded, still holding the phone away from her ear, then let it drop to her lap and pressed end. Reagan came back for her. Kath had tried to call Levi first, not because she thought he could help. He was 4 hours away, but she wanted to touch base. The tag kind of base, the kind that means safe. Levi didn't pick up, so she sent him a bare-bones text, "Ren's in the hospital," then called her dad. He didn't pick up either. Reagan knew where St. Elizabeth's was and dropped Kath off at the front door. "Do you need company?"
"No,"
Kath said, hoping that Reagan would see right through her. Reagan didn't. She drove away, and Kath stood for a moment in the revolving door, feeling like she couldn't push through. The hospital was mostly locked up for the night. The reception desk was empty, and the main elevators were turned off. Kath eventually made her way to the emergency room. A clerk there told her that Ren was already upstairs and sent Kath down another empty hallway. Eventually, she was stepping out of an elevator onto the 6th floor, not sure whom she was looking for. When she tried to picture Laura, all Kath could remember was what her mother looked like in family photos. Long brown hair, big brown eyes, silver rings, faded jeans, in a simple yellow sundress on her wedding day, already starting to show. That woman wasn't here. The waiting room was empty, except for a blonde woman sitting in the corner, her fists clenched in her lap. She looked up when Kath walked into the room. Cather? It took a few seconds for the lines and colors to resolve into a face Kath thought she might recognize. In those seconds, a part of Kath ran to the blonde stranger, wrapped her arms around her thighs, and pressed her face into her stomach. Part of Kath screamed, as loud as she could, and part of her set the whole world on fire just to watch it burn. The woman stood up and stepped toward Kath. Kath stood still. Laura walked past her to the nurse's station and said something quietly. "You're the sister?" the nurse asked, looking up. Kath nodded. "We just need you to answer a few questions."